The Josie Show is originally aired and recorded in front of a live internet audience. Any reproduction or rebroadcast of this program is strictly prohibited without express permission of the producers. Thank you. Baggy Goodies Productions, Alan Firestone Productions presents another episode of The Josie Show Special Edition. Tonight, Josie welcomes AJ Croce. I'm Alan Firestone along with Tina Passantino, and now, because she's the reason we keep a fire extinguisher handy at all times, Josie Passantino.
Love the cute little drum roll in the beginning. Hey everyone, welcome to the Josie Show Special Edition. So it's extra special. And why is it extra special? Because we have an incredible, incredible artist, musician, and entertainer. Our special guest tonight is AJ Croce. Woo! I'm so excited. So we will talk about his start in music, all of the amazing performances he's done so far, his unique album, future plans. You know, we will do all that and then end the interview with his music. I mean, nothing better than that. So let's get started. Everyone, please welcome to the show, AJ Croce. Wow. Hello.
Hey. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey.
Live studio audience.
Gotta love it. Hi.
Yeah. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing amazing. Thanks for coming on the Josie Show.
Oh, my pleasure.
I'm very excited to be talking with you. You have a lot of stuff we could talk about in such a short period of time. There's so much. So
okay,
much.
I'll keep it to sound bites.
No, you got it. You can do it. It's all good. It's all good. We will be able to cover everything. So, you know, I really quick want to start off. You have over, you know, a 20-year career so far and still growing strong. I want to start off, you know, a little bit at the beginning. Your dad is the legendary Jim Croce. So, you know, music kind of started really early for you. So can you share with us what it was like growing up in such a musically inclined family?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I was fourth or fifth generation of musician.
Wow.
You know, my grandparents on my mother's side were professionals. Mm-hmm. My grandfather put himself through college, you know, playing music. And on my dad's side, his grandfather, my great-grandfather, was an opera singer. And then, of course, you know, you probably know, my mom was a performer and songwriter. And the first album that, you know, that my folks did, they did together in 67 on Capitol. And then my dad went solo in 1971 or something like that, 72.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I mean, it was always around. I mean, there was always music around. There was music playing, and I was like a fanatic for listening to records. I loved pulling them out, playing them, and it didn't matter what it was. I was curious, and I was one of those people that loved to change the dial on the radio. So I wasn't listening to one thing. I was, you know, when I discovered that it moved and you could hear something totally different, I was into it.
Yeah, I think that's really neat. I'm the same way. Just music is music. If it has a great beat and great lyrics, you're into it. You know, it's special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, and I can imagine just growing up with so many music, you know, lovers in your family and performers and songwriters, you know, you really can't stick with just one genre. You really love music.
So. Yeah, definitely. And as a writer, I love to write in different styles. And as a player, you know, you have to, you know. I grew up playing in all kinds of situations, so I needed to know how to play, you know, blues and R&B and jazz and country and rock and roll. And, you know, I knew from a very young age I'd be playing music for a living. And so I just, you know, I practiced it all.
Yes, and I think that is, you know, the best thing. And, you know, you've put out several albums and you know, have had just countless successes, including sharing the stage with legends such as Willie Nelson, James Brown, Ray Charles, you know, just to name a few. What is it like, you know, just sharing the stage with such, you know, big names and just, you know, what's that like?
you know, each experience, everyone's different. So, you know, I guess you just don't want to screw up.
Right.
I mean, you just want to play as well as you can. And, I mean, some of those gigs, like where, you know, Willie called me up on stage to play with him, and, you know, I wasn't expecting it, but, I didn't even know what I'd be playing. I didn't know what key I'd be playing, which instrument I'd be playing. So it was, you know, it was a cool experience, you know. Ray Charles, of course, was a hero of mine, and so, you know, playing with him and just sitting down next to him was a huge thrill, you know. And talking about music. James Brown was a kook. He was a nut, and it was like and brilliant and really brilliant too. He was, you know, he was like. I watched him, I played with him on his last show of a tour. There were two rhythm sections, just in case, you know, one rhythm section played better than the other one on the song. That was the band that was playing that song that night. Rehearsed him for 2 hours, watched it. That was an experience. And then after the show, one of the most surreal experiences I ever had, you know, in a situation like that was James Brown invited me to come into his dressing room. It was just him and I, and he's sitting under a salon dryer wearing nothing but his underwear underneath a salon dryer. Right. And, getting his hair done. And what do you say to James? I mean, I lost my voice, you know, 3 or 4 times trying to sing like James Brown, and I'm sitting there going, you know, what do I say to a, you know, to a man under a salon dryer in his underwear? And we started talking about music, and we started talking about Little Willie John, who I love, and who he loved, and who, you know, got him his record deal at King. And that's how it started. And we talked for like half an hour about music. And so every artist is different, you know. Every artist that I've either performed with on stage or opened for, you know, I mean, the first person that really gave me my break was B.B. King. You know, he was the one that heard me and said, "Hey, man, you got a great left hand. Are you, you know, want to go on tour?" And I was 18, so I was like, I was on it right away.
Oh gosh, that is awesome. And I love how that just shows, you know, stars are people too. I mean, he's under a dryer, you guys are talking about music. It just shows that, you know, it's the normal things. And I think that would be, you know, the coolest part is just being able to see them in action, but also you got to hear tons of stories about, you know, about their career and about who they met. I think that would be so much fun.
I hate backstages in general because it's just you don't really have a lot of time. Everyone's on their way somewhere else, whether they're coming or going, and you don't really have any time to really meet anyone in a very real way. And I'm not really into that, you know. I would rather, you know, run into them, you know, at a party somewhere, or run into them on the street, or you know, have them give me a call or something, you know, and be able to talk to someone, because I don't care enough to, I don't want to get in the way, and I just don't like that sort of 100 people standing around trying to talk to someone, and
right.
You know, it's just not comfortable for me.
It's,
you know?
True.
So.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, once in a blue moon, you know, you find an artist that you can really connect with in an instant, you know, and Willie is one of those guys, you know. But you know, you meet him on his bus, and I've been on there, you know, 20 times hanging out, and you're you can talk about anything, you know. That's a rare thing, but he's a rare dude, you know.
Yeah, he seems like he would be like really just kind of cool, chill, just, you know, trying to talk to you like, you know, just a normal normal meeting. It doesn't even, you know, matter about
else. It's like you sit down and go, "Yeah, man, what's happening? What are you up to?" And it's not, you're not trying to impress. I just don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to impress anyone, and I don't think they're trying to impress me, and you know, I don't want any show business, and I just like to, you know, in those situations, if you do have the opportunity to be with someone that you admire, then it's great to do it outside of that. And if it doesn't happen, I would rather not just meet them just to say I met this person, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You just like to, you know, you just like to just have that more comforting feel to it, you know,
yeah.
To meet them as a person. Right, right.
Or get on stage and play. And you know,
yeah.
Playing with someone is just as good because it's equally as personal.
Exactly.
And so, you know, making music, that's the same as, you know, getting a phone call and talking to someone, you know, catching up.
Right. You can't go wrong with the music.
No.
The universal language. Right.
It is.
Yes, yes. And, you know, speaking of Willie Nelson, you know, you didn't try to impress him or anything, but it seems like he was because he, you know, he talks so highly about you as an entertainer. I've seen on many occasions, you know, how impressed he is with you as an entertainer. So can you share with us a little bit about what people can expect when they come out to see one of your live performances? Because you are an entertainer.
Well, you know, it's a pretty energetic show, and
yeah.
But you know, the audience that comes I always feel, you know, I'm performing for them, and so they're the deciding factor. And when I play something and they dig it, then go, okay, yeah, that's cool. I'm going to stick with something like that. You know, I want it to be diverse, and I have I've been recording for 20 some years. So that, I mean, that there's a lot of my material that, you know, people come to hear different albums of mine, you know?
Yeah.
So I need to play a little bit of everything I've done. And then I play stuff of other people's that, you know, that I like. It could be something from the 20s. It could be something from some rock and roll song from the 50s or 60s or 70s. It's just about having a lot of fun. And I think that if there's one thing people come away with when they leave is like, wow, I had fun, and it's infectious. I think that's the key.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the most important part is when you touch touch a fan with your music. And as a songwriter, that must feel just unbelievable to you.
It feels unbelievable every time I get to sit down and play music for anyone. I mean, you know, I feel really lucky to do that. You know, it's a pretty great job. I mean, in all honesty, there's most of my time is spent talking and working out and figuring out how that show's going to happen, or when it's going to happen, or getting to it so that it can happen. Or leaving it so the next one can happen, but for that 90 minutes or 2 hours or whatever I get, you know, to be on the stage and playing music, it's worth it.
It sounds like it would be a lot of fun. One of these days I have to see you perform live. It sounds like it's just a very enjoyable show, you know, for both sides, the artist and the fans. So, which is
what are you waiting for?
I know. What am I waiting for? Next show. I have to check it out. Amazing, amazing. And so, you know, as you mentioned earlier, you have several albums out, including an amazing piece of work titled 12 Tales.
Yes.
Yes. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because it's a really unique album with several top producers recorded in several places around the U.S. So talk to us a little bit about that. Yeah.
Yeah, so 12 Tales was sort of this concept album of this idea that I had of working with six, you know, great producers. And so it started off with a list of, you know, 25 or 30 producers, and it got narrowed down to the six that I worked with. And so each producer got a 45, essentially. They got two songs. And then they chose the musicians, they chose the studio, they chose the engineer, and, you know, they chose the songs. And so from a list of, a demo of maybe 15 or 20 songs that all of them got.
Wow.
And as two would be recorded, then I'd write two more. And so that was kind of the way that it happened. It started with Cowboy Jack Clement. In Nashville, and I'd known Cowboy for a really long time. Met him when I was a first time I played in Nashville, I met Cowboy. I was like 17 or 18 years old, and sadly, it was his last production. But it was a real thrill to be able to sit down after all these years of knowing him and actually record something. Every producer was different. I got to work with Alan Toussaint, who's one of my musical heroes. You know, he, you know, the music that he did with Irma Thomas and Lee Dorsey, and these may be obscure names for some people out there, but they really influenced my music, his style of arranging and his style of playing and writing really influenced me. So, definitely worth looking into Alan Toussaint if you're not familiar with him. And then Greg Cohen was set to sort of produce my first album in 1993. And so we went down to New Orleans to record that and had a bunch of, you know, New Orleans guys. Greg Cohen, if you're not familiar with him, he's produced 6 or 7 Tom Waits records, played bass on a bunch of that, produced John Zorn and Laurie Anderson, a lot of avant-garde classical and avant-garde jazz stuff, but he's played with everyone from Fiona Apple, you name it, Philip Glass, it doesn't matter. He's played with all kinds of people and arranged for all kinds of folks. And being that we never got to see, you know, our project never saw the light of day, I really was excited to work with him. And then the band, of course, in that New York session was the same, you know, that Tom Waits band with Mark Rebo and Kenny Wollison and Greg Cohen. So that was a thrill. This whole thing was amazing. Kevin Killen, that was a different approach. He's not a musician. He's an amazing engineer, and you know him from his work with Peter Gabriel and with U2. And then he's been working on every single Elvis Costello record for the last 30 years. So, it was just an amazing experience. Mitchell Froom was one of my very favorite recordings because it was kind of like just the two of us in a room and David. I know I'm rambling, but it took a year and a half to do, so there's a lot to talk about.
Yes.
You know? And so it was like 1 year of recording, and then, you know, every month we released a song on iTunes through 2013, and then and so that was another challenge, you know. So I would go into the studio on a Thursday, record on Thursday and Friday, mix it on Saturday, master it on Monday in LA, send it to Universal Mastering, and then it was uploaded on Tuesday. So it was a trip, you know.
Yeah, a lot of work was put into it, and
yeah.
I think that's awesome, you know. And I love how many people were able to, you know, because they always say, you know, more brains in the project, you know, better results. I mean, it's just, you know, because everyone has their own ideas. So I think that is a really, really cool project. I don't think anyone else has done something like this, not that I know of.
I don't know. I've heard about people doing stuff like this since then, and similar things. It was sort of one of those brainstorms, you know. And I just thought this is really interesting. And I'm an indie artist, you know. Most people out there probably don't know who I am, and that's cool. But the only way that anyone's going to ever hear my music is if people write about it, or, you know, someone like you is willing to talk to me about it. And it's hard when you're, you know, on an indie label. Yes. And so it's really important to be able to have an album like this that you can talk about that's really interesting.
Yeah, it is. And it is a pleasure to be talking with you. So I'm so glad that you're here to talk about it. And I think it's a very, very interesting concept. And I want everyone to be able to check it out. You mentioned iTunes. Anywhere else that people can go to check it out, purchase the music?
Sure. You can find it at record stores. If you can find a record store, you can find it on Amazon. You can find it on iTunes, of course. You can find it at compassrecords.com. You know, anywhere you can buy records. I mean, Amazon is so easy, you know, and so is iTunes. It's so easy that I recommend that just because it's a piece of cake.
It really is, and you can just pick and choose what songs you want, and you can then put it on your iPhone, iPads, all your iDevices. It's just so
right, exactly. And you know, that was something that I really thought about when I did this, was because I recognize that people pick and choose, that people don't really buy whole albums nearly as much as they used to. I thought, you know, hey, there's a lot of different kind of approaches to stuff, and maybe you dig, you know, this one or that one, but you don't like that one. It's diverse enough and eclectic enough that I think people will find something they're into.
Exactly. So I definitely think that would be your best bet, but keep checking out all the other options. I mean, I'm pretty sure you're going to be you're everywhere. If you type in your name, I'm pretty sure that people could find your music. So it's simple. It's easy. When in doubt, Google it out. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. And if you like it, then like me on Facebook, and I always keep an update of where I'm playing so that I'm touring a lot. So there's always a chance you can see me in a town near you.
Perfect. Everyone, please make sure you check it out, your Facebook. And we also, you know, have been tagging you on there, so people won't be able to miss it. And we'll post all your links after the show as well. So for people.
Right on.
Perfect. We'll make that happen right after the show. And also, you mentioned upcoming performances. Do you know where you are heading next for people who want to come see you?
Yes, I know. I have some of it memorized, but not all of it.
Right.
The next shows I'm playing. Next show is in New York City at the Iridium. Then after that, at the Emmeline Theater, which is in Westchester, I believe. And then after that, I'm in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, at a very cool theater there. Portsmouth is such a cool little town.
Yeah.
Then I'm home for a couple days in California, and then I'm heading to Oklahoma. I'll be in Tulsa. I'll be in Ardmore. I'll be in Oklahoma City. Then I'm going to Dallas. And then I'm playing, after Dallas, I'm playing this place called the Dewdrop Benevolent Social Club. It is the oldest African-American social club in the United States,
really?
And it's in Mandeville, Louisiana, and I feel pretty honored to be invited, I should have some really fun guests stop in that night. So that's the stuff that's happening in the next few weeks.
That is exciting. Well, I hope you all find, you know, if you're in the areas that, you know, he just mentioned, please make sure you find them and, you know, enjoy the show. Take pictures if you can. enjoy. I love it. enjoy. Well, that's awesome. And I hope everyone goes and checks you out and all of your music, you know, after the show. Everyone, please make sure you do that. And I know a songwriter's job is never done. So are you constantly writing, or what's been going on with that?
Yes, I'm writing all the time. I've been writing a lot lately. You know, I'm writing for a new album. I have a bunch going on this year. Besides touring a lot, I'm doing a bunch of different collaborations with co-writing. Then I'm re-releasing That's Me in the Bar, which was my second album, and so it's the 20th anniversary of my second album. A lot of people like that. It was with Ry Cooter and Jim Keltner and David Hidalgo from Los Lobos, and just some phenomenal musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a bonus track with Flea from the Chili Peppers, so that's going to come out. And then I've got another collection of the last 10 years of my recording which I'm excited about. That's called Further On. The first 20 some was collected in a collection called Early On. So yeah, and then recording a new album in the fall.
Oh, that's awesome. Now I'm really excited because I'm excited about the new music, new album. Just, oh, it's going to be great. It is. And congratulations, too, with all of your endeavors and your future endeavors. I know it's going to be incredible.
Thank you so much for being so optimistic. I appreciate
it. It helps. No, it's going to be amazing, and I look forward to, you know, having you back on, and that would be super, super cool. It would be.
In a heartbeat. You just let me know.
Thank you so much. And I really do have to give a shout-out really quick to comedian Jay Mather, who actually hooked us up. So big shout-out to him.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Got to give him that shout-out. And we are going to play your music, but I just want to thank you so, so much for coming on and chatting with me. It was just a pleasure. We'd love to have you back on.
Thank you so much. Take care, and until next time.
Yes, take care. Talk to you real soon.
All right, bye.
All right, bye-bye. Woo! AJ Croce, everybody. Oh, so awesome. Such a talented artist. I think he is incredible, and I hope all of you check out his music. 12 Tales is his wonderful album. You can find it on iTunes and Amazon, record stores if you have any in your area, like he said. And then also, of course, make sure you keep up with all of his touring and performances and stuff on social networking. That's your best bet. And it's AJ, and then CROCE. So find him, everybody. Don't forget it. Now, how about we play the music? Let's do it, everyone. Here is his first song called Easy Money. So we will be right back. Here it is. Check it out, everybody.
Took your money now, however will you pay the man? Skinny mini moo moo, took it off of Mau Mau, gave it all to Dapper Dan. Junior Tiny Choo Choo can get it off of Daniel, cause he's a heaven lifting Jew. Choo Choo's baby mama, may cause a bit of drama, all depending on her mood. Everybody knows if you want to make your mind better, make it show. A little lady poo poo had her eyes on Choo Choo, baby mama cut her deep. Junior killed the dandy, his money came in handy, though he knew it wasn't his to keep. He took a dab of dandy and put him in the ground, see all his lovely ladies weep. Hustlers dressed in black suits, all of them in black boots, and one of them was 6 feet deep. If their money come and go, you may have it, you may all, well, everybody die, everybody know. If you want to make your money, better make it show. Everybody knows if you want to make your mark, better make it so.
Take it out.
There you have it. That was A.J. Croce and his song, Easy Money. All right, next song we have from him, Rollin' On. So let's play that right now, and we will be right back with his last song that we have. So here we go, Rollin' On.
Howling everywhere and no one's going down. Lost inside the memories of this lonely town. So many things that can make a man feel this way. You might win sometimes, but then you're gonna have to pay. But keep rolling.
With my woo, because that was really loud. I scared myself, actually. The next song that we're going to play here by our lovely guest, AJ Croce, is his last song, Venus and Adonis. So we will be right back in just a moment with a couple announcements. So here you go, everyone. Check it out. Oh, I am enjoying the music. Hope you all are too. Woo, here we go.
Take me to the mountaintop or leave me to the subway train.
Before we have to wrap this up and get cut off completely, I want to tell you guys it's Friday on our regularly scheduled The Josie Show. My guests are Mina Hardy, Abby Walker, Richard Lynch, and Prevo Rogers Jr. So please make sure you tune us in this Friday. You can tune us in at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time Zone, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time Zone at www.josieshow.com. So check it out. Please make sure you put that on your calendar so you do not miss it. And also, please remember the Josie Show theme song contest ends this Friday night, February 20th at midnight. So artists, please get your submissions in. For details, you can look on our Josie Show Facebook page or send an email to Tina, T-I-N-A, at josieshow.com. And you can find our Josie Show Facebook page for all the details, www.facebook.com/josieshow. You can also find us on twitter.com/josieshow. On all, those are all our social networking sites. We have many, many more. We probably even still have a MySpace. So just type in The Josie Show, and you'll surely find us, no doubt. So please check that out. And remember, The Josie Show is originally aired and recorded live at josieshow.com with a live internet audience, and may not be recorded or aired without written consent from The Josie Show management. So good night, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to The Josie Show special edition tonight right here at josieshow.com. See you guys Friday. Good night, everybody.